Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers, and a happy Christmas Eve to everybody. As always, I am one of your hosts, Ben. This here is Will.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Indeed. Obviously, it's the holidays. It's the best time of the year, the best time for sports, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to be talking about we're going to quickly recap Monday night for football, you know, because we have to talk about that game. But then we're going to get into our holiday specials. But before that, I'm going to hand it off to Will. What do you got to start us off with tonight, sir?
Sir, tomorrow is Christmas. And if anybody knows me personally, they know there's only two holidays out of the year that I actually like, to do anything. And that is my birthday and Christmas. That is, I love me some Christmas, sir. So today we're going to start off a little bit different. I actually want to know your favorite Christmas movie, Benjamin.
My favorite Christmas movie has to be Home Alone, and I'm going to tell you why. So
let's go.
Yeah. I mean, look, Home Alone is a classic, right? You know, Kevin McAllister gets left at home.
Nice little staple.
Of course. It's a Christmas staple. If you're not watching Home Alone on Christmas, then you're missing out on one of the key movies. Now, obviously, you know, there's a lot of Christmas movies, both of the classics, of your romance, all that. But Home Alone, that's like the icing on the cake. It's a combination of funny. It's got all the good dynamics that you want for a little bit of action, a little bit of mystery and intrigue, even though we all know that, you know, Harry's a dum-dum. But
Let's be clear. Out of that whole movie, I want you to know, because a lot of people don't actually realize this, Kevin's parents were horrible.
Oh,
They were the actual villains in that movie. But let's be clear. In all of the movies, Kevin's parents were the problem. How do you forget your 8-year-old son at home, alone, and get all the way to a whole nother country before you even realize?
Or even better, and the second one, how do you lose him to New York?
He's in New York balling. Do you understand me? Trump hotels.
And
they have no clue that he was gone. His parents were horrible people.
So the question is, which one's better, the first or the second?
Oh, you can't beat a classic, sir. You're not. But I'm going to say the first one, but that second one went crazy.
I think
Lost in New York was definitely crazy.
I think that as a sequel, not a lot of sequels rival the original, the first ones. But in that series, now, I don't like the rest of the Home Alones. I've seen them all, but no, they're not the
of
same.
Of course, they start falling off. Some of them are using Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. So the first one is definitely the better of all of them, but the sequel is pretty much right there with it. And it's because they didn't rehash the same exact, like, he's home alone, he's left at home again. They at least did something a bit different. However, Home Alone is my favorite movie. So let's hear about yours. What's your favorite movie?
Sir, I'm going to go a little bit outside the box with mine. You know, I have a couple of different favorite Christmas movies. Die Hard being one of them.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. Die Hard. And it killed me out because I didn't actually realize it was a Christmas movie until somebody told me, hey, you could really consider it a Christmas movie.
True.
But for my all-time favorite Christmas movie, for nostalgia, I'd have to go with A Christmas Story. And okay, for my, like, all-time favorite, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay. Explain that, because that's actually kind of interesting.
yes, like I said, it's a little bit outside the box. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, first off, a lot of people don't realize this, but most of the movies are set up for the school year, and the school year starts at around October.
Yeah.
And they go by the mid-movie, you're usually in Christmas time.
Okay.
So it makes it a Christmas movie because that's in Sorcerer's Stone, they actually celebrated Christmas with Ron and Harry because, yeah, you know, they stayed back at the mansion while everybody else went to go visit their families.
Okay.
It was Harry Potter, the whole series to me is like something that you can rewatch over and over again and never get bored of. And the original Harry Potter, the Sorcerer's Stone movie, classic. You can't get enough of it. And as a Christmas, as a Christmas themed movie or Christmas set movie, you can't really go wrong.
I guess I never really considered that, but you know what? I like it.
Hey,
I like
Die Hard can beat it.
Do I think Die Hard can beat it?
No, I'm saying if Die Hard can be a Christmas movie.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So Sorcerer's Stone.
I can agree with that. Have you watched the Christmas movie called The Red One?
Yes, The Rock and Ryan Reynolds.
Of course, and this guy, the guy who plays Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Yes. I like that one. It's one of my favorites. We're actually, I've seen it before, but we were watching it today. We'll probably finish it up tonight. That's another really good movie. When it comes to Christmas and Christmas movies, like I said earlier, there's so many, and it's every genre. It's not, you got kids movies. You got your, if you want to get into the Westerns, you got those. You've got your romance. You've got your sci-fi. You've got your comedies. You've got your fantasy, you've got your action and adventure, you've got your even more of your those who like your military police type movies, you've got those out there. Like every genre has Christmas in it, some shape, form, or fashion. You will find Christmas in that theme, whether it's direct or if it's referencing things like Christmas. So, for example, even your Krampus type movies still talks about Christmas. So your horror genre even has freaking Christmas. So we are at that time of year where everything is, maybe not in every part of the country is it cold, but everything in every part of this country, it is Christmas. So
speaking of, we will be getting into the Christmas movies a little bit late tomorrow because we got a full basketball and football slate,
yes,
sir.
Yes, sir, we do.
And while we're getting into it, I want you all to go and follow our social media pages. We'll be posting a few, you know, lighthearted trivia questions, some Christmas picks, and all of that good stuff. So go follow all of our social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, and Benjamin, let's get into this slate. Starting all off with the Cowboys and the Commanders.
All right, so here's my take on this game, and I'll be honest, I don't even think I need to look at the stats to really call this game, even though I have, of course. The Cowboys have this; it's written all over the Cowboys. This is a win. It's a classic matchup. It's a divisional matchup. It's not a great matchup for them because, or for the Commanders, I should say, because they don't have anything hardly going for them right now. They have fell apart. This is not the Jaden Daniels second year coming back after getting so close and just getting to work and getting it done. Unfortunately, injuries have plagued him, plagued the Commanders as a whole. This is a team that has not stayed healthy. This is a team that has struggled in every important category, or almost every important category. They are 24th in points per game. They are 26th in passing yards per game. The only thing that they have really had going for them has been their rushing. They are fourth in the league right now, which is actually quite impressive for a team like the Commanders. They have just failed so badly on the offensive front. And then their defense, 20th in total sacks, 26th in interceptions. Now, here's the only thing I'm going to put out there is the Cowboys actually are worse in certain ways defensively than the Commanders. They have less sacks. They have less interceptions. They do not create turnovers. They do not stop drives. The Cowboys defense up until recently has been absolutely abysmal, and a lot of that can be credited back to the beginning of the year, getting rid of Micah Parsons. That was a huge problem. They had gaping holes on that defense, and when they got rid of him, they took away their main source of pressure on quarterbacks. And up until, you know, the midpoint of the season where they started making trades before right at the deadline, they were not addressing anything. They got Kenny Clark in exchange for Micah Parsons. And up until the injury, the Packers were by far winning that that trade. And I would still even digress on that and go to say that they still win this trade. Injuries are not predictable, and you can't control them. This game, I'm calling it for the Cowboys offensively. They're a top 10 team in most categories, other than maybe they're rushing right now, and that's something that they're not terrible. They're just not where they need to be. If they had a rushing game that was fully up to speed and a top 10 rushing team, not just passing, they would be a team to beat. However, because of that, they're sitting outside of the playoffs looking in. And this is going to be a loss. This is going to be a win, but it's going to be an ugly win. So they might as well chalk it up as a loss at this point because it's not going to be pretty.
I'm going to go ahead and agree. The Cowboys have everything to win in this game. And honestly, if Mariota was out there, I wouldn't even call this so easily for the Cowboys. But they're using Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
Boys actually not seeing any snaps this year. So the Cowboys have everything to take from this. And when you're looking at the when you're looking at honestly every game for the next for Thursday and Saturday, there's gaping holes in who's gonna end up winning and who's gonna end up losing. The only way that any of these people lose is if they wanted to.
Well, I think the problem here in this game, particularly, is that the Cowboys, they have played down so poorly this entire year. It's actually embarrassing for Dallas because their offense is built to be a Super Bowl team. I firmly believe it. Javonte Williams has done pretty well. They've got George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb. They've got they've got Dak Prescott. They've got a pretty decent offensive line. I don't understand why their defense just continues to blow games for them. Like, their offense is capable of producing points consistently. And we've seen them have 40-plus point games and lose games to teams who shouldn't be able to score on them like that, and yet they lose in a shootout. Like, this is like, Dallas is like, so watching the Cowboys is like watching a basketball game, in my opinion. It's back and forth, back and forth. It's not, there's no defense, not really.
It's Christmas. That's not going to happen with the Commanders. The Commanders are going to flop, specifically because they don't have any offense right now. The quarterback is the main point of the offense. If he can't get anything rolling, they can't get anything rolling.
Yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This Josh Jacobs is not going to be able to do so.
I don't disagree. I think they're getting him out there. I mean, obviously they have no other choice, but they're going to get him out there. They're going to run a simple play, a simple playbook for him. They're going to keep a dummy down. Winning this game doesn't do much other than maybe satisfy the rivalry, right? So this game means very little to either team. The Commanders are irrelevant. The Cowboys, if there is any fringe hopes, even with this win, I think the Eagles have silenced it, and I think most of the other teams in the NFC that are on the are in that bubble have a better record and are more likely to get into the playoffs. So the Cowboys, Commanders, it's not here's the only thing I'm going to say, and I don't know how you feel, but I think that's what makes this a beautiful game. This game means nothing other than just pure, simple football. You don't have to win or lose. You want to. It's the rivalry. It's historical.
That's why I love Christmas football. The games never actually matter that much. So well, you can always just enjoy them.
There is one game in this slate that does matter, and I think we save that for last, and that's going to be the Lions. That game does mean a lot. But we can get to that one last because we need to move on to the Broncos and the Chiefs here momentarily, and that game is also very similar to what we're seeing here with Dallas and Washington. And I just leave my final thoughts again on this. Dallas should take this game, but I think it's going to be purely just going out there on Christmas, balling out, and they're going to fight for the simple fact that it's the only right thing to do. The division needs it. The rivalry is real, and it keeps the fans watching. There's money.
See, that's the thing. A lot for these games, there's nothing really to them. Like, I get it. I get what you're saying, division rivalries and all of that, but in real life, there's no way that the Vikings are going to beat the Lions, not without an actual quarterback. And none of these teams, the teams that we're talking about here, none of them have, they're all using third string quarterbacks. All of them. Last one. Commanders were already on their second string when they had Mariota in. Now they're on their third string with Josh Jacobs. Then you got the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy. He was the first string, of course, but there was also somebody else in before him.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about
who was it? Because he actually did pretty well. Either way, they're now using someone named Max Brosmer. I have no clue who this guy is. He has no passing yardage for the entire year.
Well,
so you're telling me that there's a way that the Lions defense, as shoddy as it may have been this year, is going to let Max Brosmer get off on them? It's not going to happen, sir. That's the thing about these games. Go ahead.
I wasn't saying that this game was going to be a good game. I'm saying the only one out of these that actually counts for anything is the Lions needing to get the win. Because you got to remember, the NFC North is very ugly right now. The Bears, the Lions, and the Packers are all fighting for it.
Only way the Lions don't get this win is if Dan Campbell literally plays Ray Charles in his own movie. Do you understand me? Like, he'd have to not be able to see anything on the field. Period.
Well, Here's the only thing I want to point out, and this is something that we need to be cognizant of. There's a lot of questionable players coming into this game for the Lions, on offense especially, and a decent amount on defense. So I'm not saying that the Vikings are going to take this, but we also have a quarterback that we have no information on. The Lions have no information on this guy. This dude could come out here in classic Viking style of the last 3-4 years and just turn it up. We don't know. We can't know. So with that in mind, you have to look at the rest of the team as a whole for the Vikings. And this is where I go back to agreeing with you that they should not win this. Gavin Bartholomew is out. TJ Hockenson is out. Ryan Kelly is out. Jordan Mason is out. Brian O'Neill is questionable. There's a lot of guys that are active now, but when you look at the offense, the Vikings are definitely struggling. Defensively, it's a bit of a different story. They're starting to get healthy again. They're going to have some key players out there. So that defense is going to be a crucial element for the Vikings if they would like to even stay in the game. The Lions.
There's no way that any of these teams stay in the game for too long. It doesn't matter how we try to flip it around or try to say it. Like, there's no way the Commanders stay in this game. Did you see? I saw when Josh Jacobs had to come in for Mariota last week. Did you see that?
I did not watch the game. No.
I believe it was his third play. He threw an interception. Like, there was and it was a crazy interception, too. It was like his man was like at least 10 yards the other way. He threw it completely overboard. It was a crazy interception. There's no way that they beat the Cowboys. No way.
I'm not saying that they're going to.
When you come down to it, like, I get it. There could be, like, some wild cards in there because I've been trying to figure out which one it is, too. But at the end of the day, all of these spreads seem legit. Except for the Broncos, but that's because the Broncos suck anyway.
Look, Josh Johnson is, he's not a rookie. He's been in the league for a while. He's not done anything of any real importance, it looks like, throughout his surprisingly long tenure. He started back in 2021 for the Ravens. He started for Washington back in 2018 for 3 games. He's played with Washington, Baltimore, the Buccaneers. Well, he started for them, but he's played with more than those teams. So, like, look, I'm not calling it for the Commanders by no means. Like I said, it's going to be a Cowboys game. There's no reason they shouldn't. And if they do, by all means, I'm going to bash the Cowboys on ESPN. So it's not even funny. the Cowboys don't need to win this game. I'm sorry, the Commanders don't need to win this game. They don't deserve to win this game. They don't have the team to win this game. But if I would like to see an underdog game that would get kind of crazy, I'd be okay with this one. This is one of those games that doesn't necessarily shake up the NFC much. It doesn't have a major impact on playoff standings. At the end of the day, this one, like I said, this is one of the games where you go out there. I think the Cowboys keep in mind their standings for the playoffs. I think we see some caution from the Cowboys. I think they're not going to want to burn their players and risk any unnecessary injuries at this point. So while I imagine all the starters will be out there, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't start seeing some rotation of other players in a little bit more, especially the younger guys, because it makes sense at this point. You know your season's about to wrap up. You're going to be on the couch for the playoffs. You're not going to be on the field. So if I'm the Cowboys in this game, I'm only trying to win for the sake of the rivalry. Right, the history of it. That's it. The Lions and the Vikings, since we've already got onto them, the Lions need this win. This isn't a non-factor game. The Lions need the win. The Vikings don't. They don't matter. The only thing that they're going to do is they're just going to put a nail in the Lions' coffin if they win. So the Vikings-Lions divisional rivalry is okay. It's not the most intense rivalry of the division by any stretch. But the Vikings could put a nail in their coffin, and I could see them having a little bit of that out for blood mentality, but if I'm being honest, they're not going to get anything done. And it's going to be one of those games where the Lions should come out and play good Lions fashion. I don't know for sure that St. Brown's starting. So Jameson Williams should benefit from that a lot. If he doesn't. Jared Goff needs to come out here and get some work in. If we're being honest, he needs to be able to show that he is, if there's going to be a hope, a shot in the dark for them to get to the playoffs, that he is capable of managing the team, managing the offense, and getting it done. And I think when you look at these two teams, the Lions are second in the league in points per game, third in passing, 12th in rushing. Their defense is 6th in sacks, 12th in interceptions. The Vikings are they're the polar opposite of this, other than sacks. They're one sack short of being what the Lions have had on the year. So their defense, which is starting to look a little bit healthier again, could be a problem for the Lions. But to say that I believe the Lions are dropping this game, let's be honest, even if Montgomery doesn't play, Sam Brown doesn't play. I could even dare say, who knows? They could probably slide by with Jared Goff not even playing, because they're just a better team than the Lions. Or I'm sorry, than the Vikings. And the Vikings are just not built to win this game. They are built to make it a problem. And the only value for them is to be the final nail in the Lions' coffin. But I'm not going to argue the fact that I believe that the Lions are going to win, because I absolutely do. They have no reason to lose, especially with almost all of their key players being on the field.
Completely agreed, sir. Let's move on to the NBA. We also have
Hold on, sir. You forgetting something?
Am I?
Are you? There's another crucial Thursday night game, sir.
We had the Cowboys, the Lions. We already talked about the Broncos and the Chiefs, right?
We haven't really talked about them, though.
There's really nothing to say about the Broncos and the Chiefs, but if you want to get into it, we can.
Well, I mean,
the Broncos
suck,
and the only reason that I think that this game is going to, the only reason that they win this game is because the Chiefs have nobody to play.
It's already been proven. They played Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs earlier this season. You're wrong. They proved that already.
Yeah.
Controversially, the Chiefs are not a good team. They're out of the playoffs. They have no relevance to this game.
Why I said that there's really nothing to this game. The Broncos are literally going to come in this game, get maybe two or three touchdowns, and then coast the rest of the way. They're not going to do
exactly.
They might even get those first couple of touchdowns in the first quarter, and then the rest of the game is going to be bupkis. There's no reason to even pay attention to this game.
It's the defense. Sir, that defense is my favorite defense in the league to watch. The way that they get after quarterbacks.
You love boring games, sir. You love the games
that actually
suck.
I like
games where there's some touchdowns scored.
They get them. They're 13th in the league in points per game.
Even when there's good defense, there still should be some touchdown scoring, sir. And you love those games that still they end up being 7-0 with nothing on the clock. Like, how is this work?
Then they have games where they score 40-plus points to get the win.
I don't think this is going to be one of those games. I think they're about
either.
To let a dumbed-down, superstarless, nothing of a Kansas City Chiefs team actually compete with them. They're going to get a couple of touchdowns, and then they're going to coast the rest of the way at best.
Anything really wrong with that?
Yes. Yes. What do you think I'm arguing, sir? What do you think I'm saying? That is a horrible game. That is what you call a waste of time game.
Well, all I'm going to say is the Broncos are probably one of my favorite. And the only thing that them losing this game is going to do is going to hurt their playoff standings. They're in the playoffs. It's a wrap.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
They're in. They're just trying to get that first round by. And honestly, the way they've played all year, if they keep playing like they've been all year, ain't nobody beating them.
There's a couple of people that'll beat them. But we're going to wait until the playoffs to address that. Mm-hmm. As for the Broncos, everybody knows I hate them. I can't stand the way that they play, and the way that they play this game is going to make me even more mad at them. So,
before we get out of football, do you think that this is going to wind up being Kelce's final season?
He can't end like this. I'd hope not. Who wants to end off on a bad note?
The problem is, right, next year Patrick Mahomes probably won't be starting the year. All right, Travis Kelce is already getting up there. That's a team that needs a lot of rebuilding. The reality is Patrick Mahomes probably won't be their quarterback week one.
Tua's going to the Chiefs, y'all.
Yo, you know what?
It's happening in the offseason. Watch this.
I would love to see that happen just because of the absolute atrocity that would be the Kansas City Chiefs. Because here's the thing.
Boy, Tua's going to go over there and show out in that program. Watch.
And there's one of two ways that goes. Either he does really bad and everyone says, okay, well, his career's done. Or he goes to the Chiefs. Andy Reid turns him into a quarterback.
Straight back to the bowl.
Hold on. What happens when Mahomes recovers and he's back?
They're going to keep Tua in.
What?
Because by that
you're
time,
you're going to take one of the highest paid quarterbacks?
Wait. They're going to keep Tua in because by that time, Tua will be shown that he deserves to stay in. And
over Mahomes?
Mahomes would still need some time to recover. They could split the time in between. I can guarantee it. Tua's taking him to the bowl.
You know what? I hope they do because I hate the Chiefs so much that I would love the controversy. Can you imagine Tua out here with his left hand throwing touchdowns to Travis Kelce?
Yes, I could, sir. I'm picturing it all in my head right now. Tua and Tyreek Hill both get traded back to the Chiefs.
Who's the Dolphins taking? Who's the Dolphins quarterback going to be?
I don't know. Maybe Quinn Ewers steps up to the plate and they take on a little backup QB. They got it in them. I don't care what the Dolphins do. Take Tua and Tyreek Hill back to the Chiefs.
Yo.
Yes, sir. We've seen how that works.
All right. Well, on your delusional note, I say we end the football and we move along.
We're going to the bowl, sir.
We go to basketball.
Everything in my head tells me that lineup would be fire. The bowl is guaranteed.
All right, let's talk about the first game for basketball tomorrow because I can't even fathom the absolute atrocity that would be in Kansas City. So let's talk about the Cavaliers and the Knicks, sir. Wow. This whole slate for tomorrow, unlike the NFL, the whole entire slate of games tomorrow will be competitive. It might actually be one of the best days we've seen in the NBA recently. And boy, did the slate for basketball for Christmas just line up perfectly. And starting off with the Cavs and the Knicks early in the day at 12 o'clock. For those of you who like to do your Christmas dinner and stuff later in the day, you do all your stuff in the morning for your unwrapping and your breakfast. And you're like, all right, what do I do now? You start off watching the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks. And honestly, I think this is going to be a wild game. The last time they played back in October, the Knicks won 119-111. And if I'm being honest, I see this game ending very similarly in favor of the Knicks. What about you?
I'm going to disagree. I believe Jalen Brunson is still out, and he's always a factor for the Knicks' wins. Even though they have other scorers, they have people that can step up to the plate, they don't always do so. So
I'm gonna see him listed as out for tomorrow.
He was out last game. I'm just saying he might not.
Yeah, he's listed in their. He's listed in the starting five, but their injury report right now, and we'll just hit it real quick for the Cavs and the Knicks. For the Cavs, Mobley, Nance, and Struss are all three out. For the Knicks, McBride, Shamet, and Yabusele. That's your injuries. Honestly,
I can say the Knicks can take it. The Cavs actually suck this year. I don't see what anybody sees in them, but
I mean
that's just me. But
I think
as for the Knicks, I think they can take this one.
I like I like OG to have himself a good game. I like Donovan Mitchell to have a good game as well, but I definitely like OG to have himself a good game. And honestly, I don't know. I think this is going to be one of those games where you sit there and you're like, you know, the Cavs, while they've been good, I think the Knicks have just been better. And the Knicks are at home. You know, it's not as big of a deal in the NBA as it might be in like the NFL, but they're at home and it's Christmas. And honestly, yeah, you gotta go with it. So I think that the way this game is going to play out is going to be a good game. And I think the Knicks are going to take it tomorrow. It just makes sense.
Yeah, we're going to have a nice little slate tomorrow for basketball. Moving on to the Thunder and the Spurs.
2:30.
Man, look, the Spurs have found the recipe to beat the Thunder. And I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think. Look, out of all teams, the Spurs, and they done beat them the last two times they played each other.
I remember telling you not too long ago, sir, the Spurs, there's something about them. And you kind of disagreed with me on that. And I don't know.
Only because they're at that time, nobody else was stepping up. De'Aaron Fox, even though De'Aaron Fox still isn't doing anything, we still got Stephon Castle and we got Devin Vassell. These are teams, Luke Kornet, all of them are stepping up to the plate now. That was a huge difference from at the beginning of the year when you brought them up to my attention. None of them were stepping up to the plate. And now we're seeing a whole bunch of like gameplay out of them that we were not seeing. When I watched that game, the game that they played last night, boy, I'm sitting here like they were moving the ball better. The Thunder couldn't do nothing unless Shea was doing it. I believe Chet finished off that game with like 7 points, got completely dominated by Wembanyama. Like, these are things that no other team has been able to do.
I don't disagree. I think this is going to be I think, considering the Spurs have won their last two matchups against the Thunder, I think this will be a good game. I do think that the Thunder are going to win this one. I don't think they're going to drop the third one to the Spurs.
I don't think so either.
I think the Thunder are going to take it. They're at four losses right now, so they're starting to, while they're not starting to slide, I think they're starting to realize, all right, you know, we were riding that one loss for a minute, like, and then they started dropping a few. Like, I think they're going to figure it out. And I think them beating the Spurs will kind of breathe a little bit of that life back into them. If they drop this one to the Spurs, I think they need to be careful. Not that I'm saying that they have to worry about their playoff hopes or anything right now. That's almost a guaranteed lock at this point, unless they just lose every game here on out. But I think that they just need to be cognizant, especially if they lose this game, that, hey, there is starting to be something that is a little wrong. You know, when you look at teams, obviously, like, you know, we talk about the Knicks, honestly, they have 9 losses.
Honestly, I don't think that there's anything wrong. I think that the Spurs just have a little something that they don't. These other teams do not. Like, when you're looking at the domination that the Thunder has put out, the only reason that they haven't been able to do so on the Spurs end is because the Spurs honestly have a nice similar team to them. The ball movement, the youngness with the veteran side, they have all the pieces that the Thunder do. I don't see a lot of other teams like the Spurs or the Thunder. Like, even the Celtics this year. The Celtics, like, even though they're performing well still, they're not up to their full potential. When we're looking at all these other teams, the Knicks, even when they're at their full stat, like, everybody's healthy, the Knicks can drop a game at any time that makes absolutely no sense for them to drop. They do it all the time. But when we're talking about a team like the Thunder and the Spurs, I mean, Chet Holmgren is a domination factor in every other game, except for when he's up against Wemby. And even though that wasn't the case last year. But Wemby, as clumsy as he looks out there, is playing ball. Chet, he has to step up his game. If they actually want to take this game, Chet's going to have to step up, take over Wembanyama like he did last year. They're going to have to stop trying to play straight through Shea, because Shea is not the end-all, be-all. Take away his free throws, you take away at least 15 of his points. So it's like, you know, you got, when you're going through and you're trying to tick down this game, yes, I believe that the Thunder are going to take this game just because they've dropped the last two, and I believe that's going to drive something in them to at least try to take this game. At the end of the day, if they play like they did in the last two games, because it wasn't like they weren't scoring their points. It wasn't like they weren't still being the Thunder. You could see the plays. You could see what they were trying to do. The Spurs were just better. Last night, you could just see how the Spurs were outplaying them. Shea took like the first five or six shots himself. Nobody else shot the ball.
Well, if you look back at the on the 23rd when they played, and you look at the Spurs pretty well outscored the Thunder. And I mean, we've seen how the Western Finals game went for the Cup. And, you know, it was a good game, very solid game. Both teams were pretty much neck and neck. I think the Thunder have they have a thing right now where I feel like their defense is where they're struggling. You know, they excel really good when it comes to free throws. They have one of the better free throw shooting percentages in the league, right? You're talking about, you know, when we look at the Spurs and we look at the Thunder in comparison, the Spurs have a really good tendency to, they get a lot more, they got, like in this last game, they had more fast break points, quite a few, 19 compared to 5, right? Their defense was getting the ball. They were getting the rebounds. They were getting steals. They were doing everything that you really needed. Points off turnover, 20 points versus 11 points. It's not just their offensive movement. It's the fact that they're converting defensive plays. And I think that's where the Thunder are struggling, is they struggle on defense a little bit. They're not producing the defensive points that they need, or they're not producing points off of their defense. They rely on making something happen when it's their possession. But then you look at the amount of turnovers and you have to consider, okay, maybe that's where part of their problem is they're turning the ball over. And when they get turnovers, they're not getting the points that they need to get off of that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the Thunder hopefully will go ahead and take over the Spurs.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And take this game. But only time will tell. If the Spurs take this next game, we might actually be talking about the Spurs in a different light come February and March.
Agreed.
But moving on, we have the Mavericks and the Warriors. Don't really want to spend too much time on this game. But I will say Cooper Flagg has been doing his absolute thing. Going up against a veteran like Curry, we're going to see where everybody lies at. But I will say that the Mavericks are missing a lot of people for these Christmas games. There's a lot of game time decisions out there.
Yeah.
And Curry, you know, while he's still the only person on his team that's actually doing anything, they've still been able to pull out these tough wins. And the Mavericks, for the last couple of games, have definitely pulled out tough wins. So this will be an interesting game, but I don't think it'll be anything different I think the Warriors will take it.
I'm in agreement. I mean, Kyrie's out. Klay Thompson's a game time. PJ's a game time. Brandon Williams is game time. I mean, there's a lot of problems here on the Mavs. And honestly, after the insanity that was the trade to LA, I don't think anybody ever is going to look at the Mavs and think like that they're built for the championship.
I think they deserve everything that they get off of that little trade. Cause that was just silly. There was no reason for it except for backroom pettiness. So at the end of the day, they deserve everything that they get. Now with Cooper Flagg, like I said, they got a nice little gym. But he is not the end-all, be-all. They need a lot of help.
They got to build around him if they want to have a hope and a shot in the dark of going somewhere this year.
Correct the mundo, sir. Also, we have the Lakers and the Rockets. Luka's back for this game. Let's see.
I don't...
Or at least he should be back. They still have him as a game-time decision.
The Rockets they're an anomaly, in my opinion. I mean, they're built to win games, of course. They are winning the games that you don't think they're going to win, and then they're losing the games that you expect them to win. And when I look at the Rockets, I look at a team right now who is still trying to find, I think they're trying to determine their identity on the season. They seem to not know exactly who's running the team. There are games when you watch them, they almost look a little lost. Like they're trying to find what's going to work for them. And the problem is they've not had a ton of easier games. They've had a few, but the Rockets have had some tough games early on in the season. And they've won. I mean, they're 17-10 and they've proven that they can win good games, but I think they're struggling to find their identity as a team, especially on offense. They just don't seem to fully know where they fit in at, what their best strengths and weaknesses are. And I know it's still semi-early in the year, but I think the Rockets they're more than capable of beating the Lakers. I just think that the Lakers, especially with Luka likely being out here, they're the better team. As much as I don't like the Lakers, I think the Lakers have a very good chance of winning this game. But I do think...
I actually believe that they're going to win this game. The Rockets, like you said, they're still struggling, trying to figure out a couple of things out. As for a team that has the potential to go very far, the Rockets are definitely that. But just not yet. They're still a young team, still got to iron some of the kinks out. KD as a veteran scorer will definitely help that.
You only got so long with the game with KD, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fact, but like I said, he'll definitely help that. And we'll definitely be talking about the Rockets come here soon. But as for right now, I'll give it to the Lakers, especially if Luka comes back in the game tomorrow. There's no reason for them not to win.
Agreed. All right, sir. Well, we got one more game on the slate, and I think, of course, with that game this last game, I think it might be one of the best games of the night, to be entirely honest, excluding potentially the Thunder and the Spurs. And that is the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Now. I am a fan of the Nuggets. Like, obviously, I'm not, like, you know, the Pacers is my team, but, like, I think the Nuggets are a really good team. I like what they're doing in Denver. I like what they're building there. I think Jokic could have a really, really good career there. You give him a few more key pieces to work with and not make him the sole piece of your team. The heart of your team, I should say, or at least you give him a few more chambers in that heart. You know, you kind of can't have everything flow through Jokic. If you want to sustain a long-term career, at least, you know, a guy like him, at his level, you know, he's going to look inevitably at teams and be like, hey, I could go here and we could win a championship together. You know, Denver needs to give him a few more star players that they need to give him at least one or two more players that can score and play defense. And if he even got just one more good partner out there on the floor, somebody that was a superstar, man, I think the Nuggets could easily take it.
Honestly, I do believe that they've done that this year. If you look at Jokic's numbers, yes, they've stayed pretty much consistent, but he's not scoring as much as he had to last year. He's actually spreading the ball more. He's doing a lot more on the court than just being that key person that you have to stop. Even if you stop Jokic, there's other people stepping up on the court. When Aaron Gordon comes back in January, we might be able to see something different out of him too. You got Jamal Murray. He's been snapping for the Nuggets here lately. Their bench is actually doing pretty well as well. So when you say that they need to fix some things, I think they're actually currently fixing them. They just they're still fine tuning it. We haven't seen the best out of the Nuggets yet, and when we do, I'm thinking that the Nuggets take a shit this year.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they haven't done more, right? Like, Aaron Gordon's having a good year. Bruce Brown's having a good year. Cameron Johnson, Christian Braun. I mean, you could even look at, like, Jamal Murray, like you mentioned. Peyton Watson, Tim Hardaway. I mean, Spencer Jones. These guys are all putting up points, but not to the same level and the same caliber as Jokic. Outside of maybe like Jamal Murray and maybe Aaron Gordon, you know, these are players though that they're spending time on the floor, they're producing points, their defense isn't bad, you know, they're doing what you need them to do, but when it comes down to it, you need one more player. I think they need one more key player, one more key component, and that would be somebody here's the thing, right? If Jokic is sitting currently at averaging 28.9 a game, obviously he's averaging triple doubles pretty much every game. So when you're looking at a guy like Jokic, and you have he's a big guy, he's one of the bigs, and you're putting the weight of the team on him. He can hold the weight, but you got to look at how long can he sustain that stamina wise. And I'm not talking on a game level. I'm talking on a season and on a career level. You want to take advantage of this window now. You want to get somebody else out there that you know is a superstar. Like Matt, you know, you look at some of these legendary players in their careers. Let's talk about look at LeBron. Like, he's never won really a championship on his own, really. There's always been one or two or three or whatever around him that have helped get him there. Michael Jordan didn't do it by himself. You know, there's always a supporting cast, and yes, you could take what the Nugs have done overall, but when you start looking at the points per game, Jokic is the only one who, honestly, outside of maybe Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon, is the only one who's consistently doing anything. And you need another person who can really consistently do that. Because when you have injuries, right, what happens when those injuries happen and it's just Jokic out there? Like last year, we seen Jokic carrying the points for the team. We've seen him spreading the ball around. We've seen him making the plays on defense, running from end to end, back and forth, back and forth. You can't do that on your own. Your career can't be built like that. I think that's what we see sometimes occasionally with Giannis with the Bucks. We've seen a lot of where he carried that
team.
I
don't think that's a fair comparison. Like I said, Giannis was actually carrying the Bucks And you can see that out of the Bucks now. But in the case of the Nuggets, like I said, we're seeing other people step up. We're seeing them actually, even when Jokic isn't the highest scoring person on the court, they're still taking this win. And that's the biggest difference. If Giannis wasn't scoring 30 points or more, the Bucks lost that game. And that's what we saw every single time. That's not what we're seeing with the Nuggets. The Nuggets are dropping close games. The Nuggets are actually, like I said, I think they take a ship this year once they finish fine-tuning what I see them fine-tuning. But altogether, with all of that being said, I have the Timberwolves in this game. Specifically because the Timberwolves have always been like, you know, Nuggets kryptonite, really. They know exactly how to stop Jokic. They know exactly how to stop other players on the court, like Jamal Murray and their bench. Comparative-wise, I'll take the Timberwolves bench every day. So, altogether, I'll take the Timberwolves in this game.
Well, I will stand against on this one. I will say I think the Nuggs are going to take it. I think it'll be a good game either way, though. I think to wrap up Christmas night, I think this is a solid matchup. Jokic or Edwards, who's gonna ball out the most type thing here. But yeah, I think Christmas is gonna be a good time for celebrating with friends, family, etc., having food, opening gifts. But more importantly, and when it comes to our lineup of sports, I'm not saying it's more important than the rest of the stuff, but when it comes to our lineup of sports, this is a phenomenal slate, and I think this, as part of the celebration, is a very important and key piece of it. And the NBA, unlike the NFL, has picked some really good games. So I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm excited for Christmas. I'm excited to be with my family. I'm excited to see some sports, especially some basketball. And that's all I've got.
Well, you guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. Of course, I am your host, Will, and this is Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you on the next go around. Make sure you tune in to us on ESPN, Louisville, on any station that you might have it on. You can just pull up, tell Alexa to play us, and that she will play us. All right?
Yep.
Thank you all, and good night.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.